Reading today is Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, and verses 18 to 28. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it's God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus, and when he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervour and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. So we're coming to the end of a very short series about unknown or forgotten heroes. The first week we had Jonathan, who was brave. And if you read the rest of his story, Jonathan, who is willing to accept that he will never be king and take second place. The one who was loyal to his friend right to the end. We had Barnabas last week, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, generous, open-hearted, kind. And today we come to Priscilla. It's not a common name. I've met one in my lifetime. I don't know about you. I've met one. And I heard of three. Priscilla Presley. Priscilla White, who became Priscilla Black. And Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which apparently is a tour bus in a film, which I have never seen. But Priscilla is a very important woman in the scriptures. I don't know about you, but I've never heard anyone preach a sermon on Priscilla, which is a real shame because she can teach us so much. So you're getting one now. So Priscilla, who is sometimes known as Prisca, a lot of people today, if they do, are called Priscilla, they call themselves Scylla, but she was either known as Priscilla or Prisca. She and her husband, Aquila, were Jewish believers. We don't know how they became Christians, but they were Jewish people who had trusted in Christ as their Messiah and as their Saviour. But they had been expelled from Rome by the emperor. So they had to leave. They became refugees. How long for, we don't know. They settled in Corinth, where they met Paul and began a new ministry. I wonder if they thought, why is this happening to us? Why are we being expelled from Rome? This is our home. We're happy here. We're comfortable here. We've got good jobs. Everything is fine. And suddenly they are turfed out and they have to move. But you see, God used this experience, their difficult times, to bless them and to bless others. Because as we read in chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, they come to Corinth and there they meet Paul and there they work together with Paul and there they preach together with Paul. So maybe like Joseph in Egypt, Priscilla could say, it was meant for evil, but God meant it for good. Her experience reminds us of the words in Romans 8:28, which tell us that God works for good in and through all things for those who love him. But let's be careful. We do not say that all things are good. Some things are bad. Some things are terrible. Some things should not be allowed to happen in this world. You know that and I know that. Despots shouldn't be allowed to make people leave their homes. But in that experience, in that situation, Priscilla and Aquila found that God was faithful. And he worked for them a new life, a new experience, a new task. So never go up to someone who's going through a bad time and say, all things work together for good, you know. It's true, but be careful how you say it. God will work things out. Priscilla was married to Aquila, and together they worked as tent makers, leather workers, and missionaries. In chapter 18, verse 2, she is mentioned second. There, Paul became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. But after that, she is always mentioned first. Very odd in what you would think was a male-dominated society. Even up to fairly recently, isn't it, men have always seemed to have come in front of their wives. The lady gets married and she is from then on known as Mrs. John Morse. No, she's not. Or doctor's wife. Or the vicar's wife. They always come second, don't they? And I'm sure it was even more like in those days. But here, from now on, she is always mentioned first. But we don't know why. We can try and guess. We can try and work it out. And was she from a higher social class? Maybe. Was she seen as more spiritual than Aquila? Or was she just much more prominent? We don't know, do we? But they acted together as one. They traveled together. They evangelized together. They taught together. They encouraged young believers together and they were a help to Paul. Whether he was with them or when he went away to go somewhere else, they still carried on doing the work. God usually puts people together to serve. Not always, but usually. It doesn't have to be a husband and a wife, but people he calls to work together. We're saved to do the work that God has called us to do. Fellow workers with other Christians. Fellow workers with God himself, who works with us and through us and for us to support and encourage each other and to spread God's word and the gospel. Think of some people that you might know who were partners in the Lord. Moses and Aaron. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. When the disciples were first of all sent out by Christ, he sent them out two by two. Because he knew that they would need each other. Two are better than one. If one falls, the other can pick him up. William and Catherine Booth. A phenomenal couple. Hudson Taylor and Maria out in China. Moody and Sankey. And I'm sure you can think of other people from the Bible or from a long time ago, or even people that you've known in the last years in your life. People who worked together to help us to get to know God better. Sometime later, they left Corinth and went to Ephesus, where they planted a church. And there they met a young believer called Apollos. They met Apollos. He's an eloquent speaker. He knows the scriptures. He comes along and he's teaching with an enthusiastic spirit, it says in my Bible. That's a good thing, isn't it? To teach with an enthusiastic spirit. He is really keen. But his knowledge isn't quite right. And so Aquila and Priscilla, they can see that he needs a bit of help. And so they help him to understand the Christian way more fully. And as a result of that, we read that he became a preacher who could argue in public debate and explaining that Jesus was the Messiah. And later on, we read that he became so popular in his preaching that people fought about whether he was better than Paul or not. That was the bad side of it. They helped him to understand. They encouraged him to go, and they watched over him. Priscilla knew and understand the scripture and how to put it into practice. I'll say this as an aside, and you can think about this in your study or when you're at home. Some people tell us that Priscilla could only teach Aquila because she was at home and her husband was with her to make sure she got it right. I do not share that view. But you can talk about that in your Bible studies. She was given that gift of knowing the scripture, understanding the scripture, and explaining the scripture. And she used it to help others, as we all should if we are given that gift. Like her, we should study God's word and pass it on to others, because God's word is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, enabling us to be fully equipped for God's work. Priscilla was an influence for good in the life of Apollos, who became a dedicated, able preacher who in turn influenced others. Who am I influencing? Who are you influencing? And are we influencing people for good or for bad? In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, we read that Priscilla was able to return to Rome with Aquila, and they set up a church in their house. So they practiced hospitality. She was a hospitable person, making people welcome to share meals, to worship God together, to share the scriptures. And in Romans chapter 16 and verse 3, we read that at one time she and Aquila risked their lives for Paul. Don't you wish sometimes that the Bible gave us more details? We don't know when it was. We don't know how it was. We don't know what they did. We don't know what danger Paul was in. But Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives to help their brother in Christ. She put into practice 1 John chapter 3 verses 16 to 18, which say this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. What did they do? I don't know. they were willing to risk their lives. They didn't just say, Paul, we really love you. We think you're great. You're our friend. We'll do whatever we can to help you in ministry. But if you're in danger, we're going the opposite way. They were there for him when he really needed them. I was preaching in a church last week and we sang the hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let me be as Christ to you. Let me be as Christ to you. And how does Christ react with us? He laid down his life because he loves us. And he says, as I have loved you, love one another. It's a big ask, isn't it? If I said to you, turn round to the person next to you and say, I would be willing to give up my life for you. Wow. Would you? Would you really be willing to give up your life for the person next to you because they're your brother or sister in Christ? Would you be willing to do anything that they needed you to do, however much it cost you? However much it cost me. But that's what Jesus says. As I have loved you, love one another. And Aquila and Priscilla were willing to do that. As it happened, they didn't lose their lives, but they were prepared to do so. Sometime later, Paul was in prison and he's facing his imminent death. He knows it's not going to be long before he's with the Lord. And I suppose, perhaps as you would do in those situations, he is thinking about his past. And he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. When he writes to Timothy. There he is facing death. Who are two of the people that he thinks of? Priscilla and Aquila. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone remembered you or I when they were facing death? I remember that they came and helped me. I remember what they said. I remember that time when. They are so precious to me. Not to glory in it, but wouldn't that be wonderful? That we have done something that we have influenced people so much by that they will remember us and what God has done through us. And what about if we were in the same situation? Who would we be remembering? Who can you remember that was like Priscilla to you? Someone who was hospitable to you. Someone who taught you the scriptures. Someone who encouraged you to do something that perhaps you thought you couldn't do. Someone who said, yes, you can do that. The Lord is calling you. We've all got people like that, haven't we? That we will remember. It might have been our parents, if we were very fortunate. I would remember John James, I suppose, who encouraged me so much when we first joined. And yes, this is what you're supposed to be doing. But I tell you what, another lady who I would remember and her husband. She was from Iceland. He was from Northern Ireland. Ian and Sigga. I will always remember them. I used to go to lunch in their house when I was a student. So important. I hope all our students are finding good fellowship and people inviting them to dinner. It's really important, isn't it? They say, come home and have dinner. So I would go to their house and the first thing you had was a mug of soup. Whether you wanted it or not, really. And then he would sit down to dinner and then we would talk. And there were a couple of us was in their 70s when I first met them. And then she would say, Ian and I are going upstairs for a rest. You must have a rest too. You've had a busy week. And she would, whether I wanted to or not, I would be tucked in on the settee in an Icelandic rug for an hour. And then we would play the piano and sing. And I remember that because they encouraged me. I remember another lady. People wouldn't think about her too much. When I was teaching, and teaching was hard, I hated it. But every Thursday I went to her house. And she'd say, come in and sit down. And I'd use the phone to ring John because I didn't have one of my own. And then she'd say, let's have something to eat. And every week it was Battenberg cake and coffee with sterilised milk. And I hate both. But I would go to that dear lady's house every week because of the influence that she had on me. She was there to look after me and make sure I was okay. Have you got people like that that you look back on? You know, some people might say, well, Priscilla didn't do that much, did she really? She opened up a home, she did a bit of Bible study. But what an influence, what an effect she had. And if, when I go, people remember me as someone who was an encourager, as someone who was brave, as someone who was loyal, as someone who knew the scriptures, as someone who could pass the scriptures on, as someone who was hospitable. Wouldn't that be great? That's how we want to be remembered. Not great heroes everybody knows about. Well, that might be nice, I suppose. But it's serving the Lord, isn't it? Quietly and faithfully, consistently, so that the influence that we have makes a difference to the people that we meet. Priscilla is a wonderful example of faith. As I say, we don't know how she became a Christian, but at one point she had put her faith in Jesus. And that's the starting point, isn't it? That's the first thing that we need to do. Put our faith in Jesus. Thank him for his death. Thank him for his suffering. Thank him that he was willing to go to the cross for us. Thank him that he's alive now. Thank him that he wants to be our saviour and our friend. That's the start. But it's only the beginning. Are we committed? Are we going to be faithful? Because if so, many people will be grateful. Will we follow in her footsteps? Believing in Jesus, trusting in difficult times, knowing and sharing God's word, helping those in need, working together with our brothers and sisters, showing love most of all. Our heroes, Jonathan, brave and loyal, Barnabas, generous and encouraging, Priscilla, serving and influencing. All follow our greatest hero, who is Jesus, the one who is full of love, the one who trusted his heavenly Father in the most difficult of times, the one who knew and shared God's word, the one who helped those in need, the one who works together with us now to spread the news of the gospel. May we too bring glory to God and blessing to others as we give ourselves to the Lord and to his service. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Priscilla. We thank you that she loved you, that she believed in you. We thank you that she served you in her home, in a new country, in new places. We thank you for the influence that she had on all those people that she met. And we pray that, like her, we might follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And that our influence will be for good. That many people might be blessed. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Loving God, Father of all, you call us to proclaim the good news of your kingdom in this beautiful but broken world. In the power of your Holy Spirit, send us out to witness to our faith with joy and humility, with steadfastness and with truth. Help us to use the gifts and opportunities you give us, and so make us channels of your peace, that all the world may come to know and love you in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we bless each other with the words of the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.